last time we read from 2 Chronicles chapter 1, where we examined what God spoke to Solomon in response to the prayer that Solomon asked. And God told Solomon in 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 11, he said, "Because you have this in mind, and did not ask for riches, wealth, or honor, or the life of those who hate you, said, nor have you even asked for long life, but you have asked for yourself wisdom and knowledge, that you may rule my people over whom I have made you king." He said, "Therefore, wisdom and knowledge have been given to you, granted to you, and I will give you riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings who were before you has possessed, nor those who will come after you." Now, we examined that and said that is the key, and we titled the tape at the end of the day, of course, that was after we left here, "The Noble Desire." Meaning that there is something that you will do that is noble before God. You understand my point? That God will look at it and esteem you highly. You see, it's important that we bear that. Let me just reiterate that point again. Because if you look at the book of Daniel, don't bother opening to it. When the angel was talking to Daniel, he explained to Daniel that you are highly esteemed. That is, God looks at people and rates them differently from what he thinks about other people. That we said in the past that we are not all equal before God, like some people might think. But Daniel, if you read Daniel chapter 9, verse 23, the angel told Daniel that you are highly esteemed. That is, God rates things. There are ways by which he rates things. And he said very clearly that there is a way you will pray and God will be impressed by the response that he gave to the prayer of Solomon. Solomon prayed, not asking primarily for himself. I explained to us that was the same thing that Jesus was teaching when he was talking about, "Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, and what you shall wear." He said, "After these things the Gentiles seek after." That is, when the Gentiles when they settle down to pray, what they do is that they are asking their gods for what they will eat, what they will drink, and what they will wear. And that's why I said last time when we were speaking that a lot of prayers that Christians pray are actually prayers of unbelief. You understand what I'm going to say? You come now, let's assume we declare an all-night prayer here. And while we are praying, you find out that in the beginning, I say, "Okay, tell God this year your business will move forward." Then we begin to pray. The next 30 minutes, we are talking about God granting our business progress in the coming year. When we finish that, I say, "Okay, tell God one request that you have. That this year you want to achieve this, you want to build a house, you want to have this." Jesus said that is the kind of way that Gentiles pray. That children of God are not supposed to pray like that, because their heavenly Father knows that they need these things already. But if they will seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he said, all other things will be added unto them. And in that same, with that same spirit, Solomon prayed, asking God that, "Give me wisdom so that I'll be able," let me use my own words now, "I'll be able to establish your kingdom properly in Israel." You have to understand that what we call the kingdom of God really is not a geographical description. I hope you're following what I'm going to say. It is not that from Sokoto State to Kaduna State or so, that's the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is established where people are doing the will of God voluntarily. Do you get what I'm going to say? Not as if they are necessarily coerced, but that they have yielded themselves. That's why Jesus said, when you are praying, pray like this: "Thy will be done on earth." You know, he said that, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth." That is, it is where God's will is being done on this earth that you can see that his kingdom has come to. Do you follow what I'm going to say? So when Solomon was praying and he said, "God, give me wisdom that I might rule these people of yours," what he was saying is that I will be able to guide them in the path of righteousness, that I will be able to do justice, that I will be able to establish the will of God in that place. You follow what I'm saying? And because of that, God said, "You are seeking the kingdom of God. Therefore, all other things shall be added to you." I hope you get the point I'm trying to make. He said, what you are doing is that you are seeking God's kingdom. I want us to bear that in mind and bear it in mind very clearly. That as long as we continue to have our desires upon what we can do to establish the kingdom of God on the earth, wealth will never be far away from our abode. I hope you understand what I'm saying. That is, we are not trying really in our prayer life to establish a supply chain for our needs. That's not what we're trying to do. We're not trying in our prayer life to get things for ourselves. But when we are praying, what we should be praying about that will actually impress God is that we will be able to impart the will of God upon our environment. That is, establish the kingdom of God on this earth. All right, so that our desire is really as servants of God to do the will of God on the earth. And as long as we are praying so that God's will be established, you understand the point I'm making? As long as our desire, when I say pray, and I don't mean that pray that God's will be done in one school next to you. No, that's good, but that's not what I'm saying. But you are praying so that God will enable you as a person to further the kingdom of God on the earth. What God will do is what he said he would do to Solomon. He said that thing that you are praying for will be granted you. He said on top of that, what he will now do is that he will allow you to have wisdom. And he said, I will also give you riches and wealth and honor. Do you get what I'm saying? You see, on this earth, we'll talk about that maybe, I don't know whether today or when we'll get there. You know the difference between having money and creating wealth. Let me just explain something briefly. You see, wealth is different from cash. Do you understand what I'm saying? Let me explain like this. Let's assume now that you make a lot of money. That's maybe as you're sitting down here, I happen to be a very rich man. I just collect 10 million naira and give it to you. That is money. You have a lot of money, but you are not a wealthy man. Let me explain what I'm saying. Now, in the world, people may confuse you to think that you have wealth, but really you don't. This is the reason. The word, maybe we should start from there. Maybe I should just continue my message today from there. Second, let's just read from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. I was just recapping what we studied last time, and that's the fact that once our prayer is established in the desire to be a blessing to people, to establish God's will in their lives, to bring them out of their poverty into wealth, to kill their ignorance, to deliver them from their sicknesses and diseases, that we are thinking about how we can improve the life of the people that we're interacting with. God is saying that is a noble desire. And based upon that, I will give you more than you're asking for. If you go to God asking for food, he will give you food, and that's all. And sometimes, you know the interesting thing about prayer? Sometimes you ask God for something. Let me tell you what. James and John came to Jesus and they made a request. And he told them what? You don't know what you're asking for. I say this all the time. Even when it comes to prayer, you have to pray according to the express will of God. James and John came to Jesus, and Jesus, they made a simple request. That grant that one, Onyekachukwu, you have a seat empty on your left and one on your right. That's all they're asking for. Let me sit here and let the other guy sit there. And interesting enough, Jesus did not say there's no such position in my kingdom. There is. He said, but you don't understand the significance of that position. That is, you have come thinking that it's a position of glory. You have come thinking that when you are there, you become a man of influence. You'll be a successful person. He said, you don't know what you are asking for. And I say that all the time, that children of God should be careful when they are making requests in prayer. It is possible to ask God for something that has a dangerous thing attached to it. Do you get my point? He told them, what you're asking for is far beyond what you are thinking about. However, there's one prerequisite. You have to be able to go through what I'm going to go through. And they said, we are able. You know the unfortunate thing? They did not even know what he was going to go through. Oh God, you have to be careful when you are praying before God, because you can use your mouth to, you know, send yourself into trouble. I don't know history very well, but you know what happened to James? You know, it's recorded in the book of Acts. Somebody carried him and pierced him through with a sword. Because he said, I am able to pass through what you are going to pass through. He did not even know what he was going to pass through. He thought what Jesus was passing through was just to travel and be preaching, and people are healing you, Babake, Babake, Baba has come. That is not the point. Well, I'm saying that they made a request and it had something dangerous attached to it. They did not know. I hope you are following what I'm trying to say. In the same manner, Solomon made a request. What was attached to his request was wealth and honor and riches. He did not even know. He just made a request based upon the desire of his heart to be able to be a blessing in the area that God wanted him to be a blessing. I hope you're getting what I'm saying. That is, when you pray, sometimes you ask for things that have other things attached. You know, when Jesus said, what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. It is not only man and woman he's talking about. No, really, really. There are things that he has, like, you want to be a king, you cannot sleep like everybody else. You know, God has joined that one together. You cannot put it asunder. It's true. You want to have a ministry like Paul and be traveling up and down. It is wicked to go and get married. You understand what I'm trying to say? that has been tied together. You can't put it asunder. How can you be in one place with another one tomorrow? You are getting shipwrecked here and there, and you have wife and children at home. God knew what he was doing when he was planning the life of God. We have to be careful when we are making desires before, making prayers before God. It is best to do what Jesus said. Just make a consecration to God. Nevertheless, let thy will be done, not my own will. You follow what I'm trying to say? Just seek the kingdom of God and let other things be added unto you. When they asked Solomon, what do you want? The man told God, just enable me to be a successful king. Enable me to establish righteousness in your kingdom. Enable me to be able to establish justice in this land. Enable me to be able to rule properly. Give me wisdom to do this. He said, if you give that to me, I am okay. And God said, because of that, I will give you the life of your enemies. I will give you long life. I will give you even the things you did not ask for. Are you getting the point I'm making? That it's not every time we ask for God, ask something from God, that we get exactly what we're asking for. A lot of times, sometimes for good, sometimes for bad, we get beyond what it is that we have requested. Remember the children of Israel, what happened to them? They wanted to eat meat in the wilderness. The Bible said that he gave them meat, but he sent leanness into their souls. I hope you are getting the point I'm making. It's important that we get that very clear and bear it in our minds when we are walking with God. That even to pray, it is important that we get God's counsel before we pray. You know what Solomon said? He said, watch your footsteps when you are coming down into the temple. He said, it is better to draw near to hear than to make than to offer the sacrifice of fools. Do you understand the point I'm trying to make? That is, what God wants is for you to come near to hear. You know, one thing, I know I'm digressing, but I'll get back to what I'm going to say. This is the importance about knowledge and wisdom that God gives. How did Solomon know what to ask for? You know, we used to think, I mean, some of us think that it's just a spontaneous desire of his heart. Not really, not really. What happened was that Solomon was actually an extension of the life of David. I hope you get the point I'm making. It was actually an extension of the life of David. He made that request because of what his father David had taught him. Go and study Proverbs 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and I think 8, thereabout. You will see that his father taught him, especially in chapter 4. He said, when I was young, maybe I should open to that and read it so that we can understand what I'm saying. Proverbs chapter 4. If you read from verse 3, he said, when I was a son to my father, tender and the only son in the sight of my mother, then he taught me and said to me, can you see that? He said, he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast words. Let your heart hold fast my words. Keep my commandments and live. He said, acquire wisdom, acquire understanding. If you get down to verse 7, my Bible says the beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom. But King James, I like the rendering King James. He said, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, do what? Get, he said, therefore get wisdom. And in all thy getting, get understanding also. He said, prize her and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a garland of grace. I mean, verse 9. And she will present you with a crown of beauty. Now, if you go on down through all that area, you will see that he was instructed on how to pray. Are you getting my point? You see, if you see the disciples of Jesus, they came to him at the point, knowing this thing very well, and said, Lord, teach us how to pray. You know, I've not forgotten that I said that one day we're going to start doing something here. Prayer for very different from this, you understand? Maybe like 45 minutes earlier in the day. Anybody who can come there, it will be good. The reason why I want to do that is that a lot of times I go for prayer meetings and I get bored. People raise all kinds of prayer points and I don't understand why we are gathering, praying for this kind of thing. Well, I'm saying that there is a technique for praying. That's why his disciples came to Jesus and said, Lord, teach us how to pray. Just like John the Baptist taught his own disciples how to pray. That is, there is a pattern for prayer. There is a way you pray and you contact God's mind. What happened to Solomon was that God, somebody explained to him ahead of time that this is his father. Anytime you come to a crossroad and you have to make a choice, your choice must always be for wisdom. So God came to him and said, what exactly do you want? And he said, give me wisdom. Now, God honored, look, let me tell you, God does not mind crunch. You know what I mean? Sorry. You know what's crunch? Expo. God doesn't mind expo at all. In fact, that was why he compiled the whole of the scriptures so as to give us expo. That these things have been recorded for your learning. What God is against is those who refuse to learn. That is, they give you opportunity to learn, you don't. You know, it's very common. If you go to church, for example, and announce that we are doing maybe teaching meetings for 2-3 days, gather the crowd, very few people will come. But tell them it is breakthrough night. Everybody, look, everybody will come. No, you see, and that's what God doesn't like. People who don't have the quest for knowledge, those who are not setting up their hearts for understanding. You follow the point I'm going to make. A lot of people, if we decide that every time you are living here, all of you put one bottle of anointing oil in your pocket and go and anoint all your premises for success. Next time you are coming, 10 of your friends will follow you down. I'm telling you the truth. That's the way human beings are. But God's emphasis is not on that. God's emphasis is that you should learn words. That is emphasis that you should, he said, draw near to listen rather than coming to offer the sacrifice of food. Sometimes Christians stay up all night trying to pray. All they are doing is offering the sacrifices of fools. That is, if they would have said a proper prayer, some things would have been added unto them that they didn't need to pray about. I was saying, when I follow this train of thoughts, that you find out that you can make a request from God and he gives you just what you want. But then a lot of times there are things added to what you have asked for, which God will also give you, because what God has joined together, nobody can put asunder. Because of what Solomon asked for, he got what? A lot more. He got wealth, riches, honor, things he did not even ask for. And those who asked for meat in the wilderness, they got meat that was infested with salmonella. You know what I'm saying? Typhoid fever. No, it was there. The Bible said that. He gave them meat, but sent leanness to their souls. They were beginning to have diarrhea, fever, and stuff like that because they desired something that was not in the appropriate time of God for their lives. The same thing when they came to come and pray and said we needed a king. Samuel warned them that this is not the time to request for this king. They said, no, we don't give a damn. I hope you follow the point I make. There are, you know, even as a young man, there are things I look back at and say they were not necessary when I was, you know, maybe you just look at something. I bought this thing 8 years ago. I look at the value I got from it. I say it was a waste of money. But if somebody had told me then that this thing would be a waste of your money, I wouldn't accept. Are you getting the point I'm making? Look, let me tell you what. If sudden money comes upon you, go and hide it somewhere. Don't even try to spend it. No, I'm telling you the truth. Because you will waste. Anyway, there's nothing you can do. You will waste it. I cannot preach against it. If you are not, let me. I hope I'm not digressing too much. I hope not. I hope you're learning something from what I'm saying. Oh, okay, good. If your capacity to handle in life is 100,000 naira and I give you 10 million naira, within a year, you will have wasted it down to 100,000. Get my point? You can't help it. I can't pray for you. No man can pray for you. You cannot intercede enough to stop that process. What God has joined together, nobody can put it asunder. That is why a crook, I was going to explain something between wealth and good. I'm happy I've run back to that. That's why a crook can steal money. If he doesn't continue stealing, he immediately returns back to poverty. Let him steal 10 billion naira today and then don't give him avenue to steal again. Next year, the money is down to 9 billion. By the end of the year, probably down to 2 billion. Give him 5 years, he's a beggar again. Why? Because an inheritance quickly gotten, that's what happens to it. It's wealth that a man gathers by labor. And I'll explain the difference. I don't know whether we can get to it today. Even if we don't get into it today, if we can't get into it today, we'll come into it maybe another time. But this is the difference between wealth and cash. Wealth is strength. You know, okay, I was saying you should open somewhere. Okay, maybe I should just go there now. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. It said, but you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who is giving you power to make wealth, that he may confirm his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. And I've used the word produce wealth. That's what I wanted to come out there. Now, the literal word wealth in the Hebrew is strength. That is, what they were saying there is, the Lord thy God that is giving you power to make strength. Now, I will explain why I picked the word strength. Of course, by that they imply wealth. But I just want to use that to explain something. Wealth is different from cash. Wealth is something. Let me explain what wealth is. Wealth is a positive impact upon the earth that produces an influence for the person that's producing it. Do you understand what I say? Now, if I give you 10 million naira, like I was saying, I have not, having that 10 million naira in your hand is not an impact you have made upon the earth. Do you follow me? However, let's assume that I give you 200 naira and you take 200 naira, you do some trading and you make 500. You take 500 naira, you buy one small machine and you begin to manufacture something. And you continue, that's what the Bible calls wealth gathered by labor. After a long time, you have built up a business. Are you following? in which you have about maybe 50 people working for you. You are manufacturing a product that about 300 people need every day, or maybe 1,000 people will buy it every week. Now, so you're affecting the life of about 1,000 people. You're affecting the life of 50 of your employees that are earning salaries from what the work they are doing for you and making money. And they will now value your business. After valuing, let's say we call it 10 million naira worth of business. What you actually have is 10 million naira amount of wealth, which the person you give 10 million naira cash does not have. Do you understand the point I'm making? That is the difference between wealth and cash. That is, a man who has a business. And you see, if you look at societies where they had a solid foundation, you know, America was built upon a solid foundation. They were not built, forget all this noise they are making now. They were built upon the foundation of God. You understand my point? Now, because of that, I always say this, you see traces of the real thing in the things they are still doing. Let me give you an example. This is my very good example. Marriage was God's idea, it was not man's idea. And if you go to their societies that had, they have Christianity for ages, you see that their concept of marriage is founded upon God's idea. Do you understand my point? So, you get to America, a country like the United States, monogamy there is a law. Do you get my point? You cannot marry two wives. It is against the law. Are you following the point I'm making? Some people have tried it. They've tried all kinds of things, but it still stands that it is against the law to marry two wives. And the reason is simple, because they have a concept that is based upon the truth of the word of God. Are you getting the point I'm making? And in the same manner, if you look at it, if you're earning $10,000 and you're in a, now this is just a, I don't know the exact tax system, but I know this thing to be a fact. Let's assume earning $10,000, you're in a 20% tax bracket. And you marry a woman that's also earning $10,000. Your combined salary is now how much? $20,000, your income. Let's assume that one person earning $20,000 is not in the 20% tax bracket, is in the 30% tax bracket. When the two of you start earning $20,000, they move you up to the 30% tax bracket. That is, you pay more tax at that point being married than if you were single. Are you getting my point? They call it the marriage penalty. They are angry with it. But this is the reason why it was like that. Their law sees the two as one flesh. So as far as the law is concerned, it's one person earning $20,000. It's you that's quarreling that we are two. Again, that is because of a foundation placed upon divine truth. Are you getting my point? Now, let me go back to what we're saying. In the same manner, if you see it, when they want to value wealth, if they tell you Bill Gates has $70 billion, they are not saying that if you go to his house, that you will count $70 billion. The man has never seen $1 billion cash. Somebody like him probably has never seen $10 million put together physically. Are you getting the point I'm making? But how do they value his business? Value him to be $70 billion? It's because they have checked the amount of impact he's having upon the earth, and they value that at $70 billion. Are you getting my point? That is, he has a wealth that is valued at $70 billion. He has more money, really, before God, than the man that amassed $70 billion and put it in a bank and say, soul, rest. Rest, you have enough dollars laid up for the rest of your life. Just enjoy yourself. God said, you must be a stupid person. Because money is never meant to be laid up. That is the difference between cash and wealth. I hope you are getting my point. That is why God will not, it is very unlikely that God will answer that prayer you've been praying for money. Do you get my point? And he will give you money to eat, buy a few clothes, buy for some change of shoes. But the 20 million naira you are praying for, my brother, it go hard. Believe me when I say, it will be hard. The reason being that what God will do is not, it is a lot that God that giveth the cash. He didn't say that. Or giveth the money. But the power to produce wealth, the power to be able to affect your environment, your generation, people around you, that's what is giving you. That is, it is the Lord thy God that's giving you power to be able to start a business. It's the Lord thy God that's giving you power to be able to make an invention. Are you getting my point? That is, you look at Thomas Edison. In his days, the man made a lot of money, amassed millions and millions of dollars. Good. But till today, do you have these ones are not electric bulbs. But the electric bulb we use till today was designed by Thomas Edison. In fact, all the music we have now, although now we now use compact disc and the digital materials, but they are still based upon the concept of that man started with by making, Mary had the little lamb, that's the one started with, recording sound on physical materials. So because the man created wealth, he became a wealthy person. You see, it's very common in Nigeria today, once your uncle is now a minister, you expect you will become rich. That is why you will become poor as soon as he stops being minister. Because you do not have the ability to create wealth. You are just hanging around to collect some cash. Most people, let me tell you the truth. I withdraw the word most because I don't have statistics. But a lot of so-called rich men in this our country today are nothing but thieves spiritually. That is, the man has cash, but he doesn't have wealth. Are you getting my point? That's why they start causing trouble, you know. I don't want to mention names. A man starts shaking the whole state. They start disturbing people up and down. You know, you come and say, oh, this government is not doing what I want. You want to remove him from this. You don't, because you are a foolish rich man. You are not what God refers to as somebody who has produced wealth. Those who produce wealth are always having a positive impact upon their societies. I hope you are following the point I'm making. And that's what we want to talk about today. I hope I still have time. Okay. You know, because God was telling the children of Israel, he said, it is the Lord thy God that giveth thee what? Power to produce, to make wealth. And I want us to understand that it's not the Lord thy God that giveth thee power to make money. There is a difference. It is not the Lord thy God giving thee power to be able to mint cash. You know, I read this man's book, Robert Kiyosaki, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And there was something he said in that book at the beginning that was very funny. And he and his friend, they decided that they wanted to make money. So they had an idea. Making money, as far as we're concerned, was the manufacture of money. So they started gathering old toothpaste tubes. People they were going around all their neighbors. Please, when you finish your toothpaste, don't throw away the tube. Because the tubes they were using those days had some, I think, lead or something. I don't know what it was made of. But they could melt the metal and then cast coins out of it. So after they advanced a lot, his father was wondering that, this boy, what are you up to? They were using his father's garage. He said, Daddy, please, just give us one more week. We're up to something. We're going to make money. The man didn't understand. So the boy gathered all the toothpaste tubes, made a cast of a coin, melted the tube down, and started making coins. And said they were making money. Sounds very silly, doesn't it? But that's what a lot of people are still doing. The man decided he was going to make money. But God did not say, it is the Lord thy God that giveth the power to mint coins. It is not the Lord thy God that giveth the power to print naira. What the Lord thy God giveth the power to do is what? Produce wealth. That is, you will look at a problem and you will create a solution. Are you getting the point I am making? By virtue of the solution that you have created, money is pumped in your direction as a reward for the impact you have made upon the earth. I hope I'm making sense. Not the Lord thy God giveth the power to double money. That is why, look, let me tell you about this wealth thing. I think, was it last week? I was telling us a story here. That one brother told in our church, he mentioned the guy's name, I forgot him. One of their, they were all living in New York. And one Nigerian that was driving a taxi won a big lottery that they do in the US. The guy won about $40 million. The brother telling the story gave us the guy's name, but yet I've forgotten the guy's name. The guy was an Igbo man from this part of the country. No, either from here or Port Harcourt side, somewhere around, just this side, Sha. He said the guy decided that, yes, now that he has made $40 million, he's going home to go and become governor. So he packed all his things and flew down home. And he died. I think he took ill and just died. Listen. Power to make wealth is different from ability to steal money. It's different from ability to get cash. It's different. What happened was that money was poured upon this guy and he said, so go and cause trouble at home. And God said, this night, your soul will be required. That thing is a principle that exists till today. Are you getting my point? That's why Lemuel prayed in Proverbs. He said, give me food, meat that is sufficient for me. Don't make me too rich or too poor. If I'm too poor, I might steal. And if I'm too rich, I will take the name of the Lord in vain. That thing, you know, Many years ago, I was in church. That's when I was a house officer. That's quite some years ago now. And the pastor of my church, now, first, as a person, I couldn't understand that scripture because when I was in university, we were taught prosperity. 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 That's what we were taught. Are you getting my point? So I was wondering, how can a man, and which God testified that his scripture, make this kind of statement that I shouldn't be too rich? Ah, that I'll take the name of the Lord in vain. What does he mean? Anyway, I kept quiet. Is it in the Bible? You know, it's good that some of these things are immutable. You cannot erase them. Then I was in church that time, and my pastor then was saying that, it depends on the man's level of faith. Maybe it's his level of faith. If that's what you want, I said in my mind, no, that does not answer the question. This issue is that the man is saying that you can have money that will make you go crazy and deny the name of the Lord. Are you following the point I'm making? It was later I realized that the ability to handle resources is first in a man's spirit before you give him the money. If you give a man money that is more than he has the spiritual capacity to carry, he will indeed deny the name of the Lord. Are you getting my point? It was Abraham Lincoln that said it like this. I read it somewhere in one book, I think in one Dale Carnegie book. I can't remember the exact book I read it in. Abraham Lincoln said that any man can stand adversity. I read in a book long ago. He said, but if you want to know the real capacity of a man, you test him with prosperity. Are you getting my point? But you see, I know that there are two kinds of tests God put men through. There is a test of adversity and the test of prosperity. Are you getting my point? But to confirm what Lemuel was saying, if God tests you beyond your measure, that is, if a man gets too hungry, beyond what he's able to withstand, he will steal. That's what he's saying. Are you following my point? That he will steal. And that in the same manner, if a man prospers materially beyond his spiritual capacity, he will take the name of the Lord in vain. And let me tell you, taking the name of the Lord in vain doesn't mean you get up and say, God, I didn't say the grace for her this morning. That's not what it means. They are like one thing Ed Cole said. Ed Cole said, practical atheism, that is to be an atheist, is not to raise a fist and say there is no God. He says to live as if there is none. Do you get my point? That is, taking the name of the Lord in vain or denying the name of the Lord is not just that a man wakes up and utters the words. It's the way he lives life. That circumstances are always solved by cash. He starts telling himself, don't worry, money answers all things. You follow what I'm trying to say? Like the young man who got money and suddenly decided that he was capable of being governor because he now has cash. There was an election they had in one big city about 3-4 years ago. I can't remember for sure, in the U.S. And the man who won, the mayor of a city, was it governorship? I thought the mayorship or governorship. I can't remember. All right, for sure. There were about 3 main contestants. And he was a retired civil servant. All the other people, as is common in the U.S., were multimillionaires. And he won. And I remember his inaugural speech. He said, this is definitely an experience that money cannot buy. And I never forgot that thing. It was an elderly man. Because people believed in him. He didn't have money. Even when he was raising campaign contributions, I think he raised the smallest amount of money. But people believed this guy was a man of integrity. I think he was a school teacher or something. But he was a retired public servant. What I'm trying to say is that he had the capacity to become governor or mayor, whatever he became. All right? And because of that, God entrusted him with that rulership. But some people think that, no, it's a matter of cash. So they were all multimillionaires. They contested against the man, spent money. He didn't have a fraction of what he had. He defeated all of them hands down. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That his wealth is first inside a man. It is not physical cash outside. That is why prayer that people have been praying have been misplaced. What we should be praying is for what? The power to create wealth. It's the power to add value. You understand what I'm trying to say? It is not the power to make money. It is the power to be able to impact a change into the society. It is the power to be able to change somebody's life. It's not the power to make money that we're talking about. The creation of wealth is not money making. It is, look, let me explain it again. It's the ability to build an industry. And let me tell you what, like I said last time, if you start praying like that, God will send resources in your direction. Get my point. We are dealing with spiritual principles here, that money does not just move. Money responds to direction that is compelled upon it by the Spirit of God. Do you get what I'm trying to say? That is, there are reasons that the Bible talks about wealth can grow wings and fly. There are things that dictate the direction that birds fly in. There are migratory patterns that birds have. Are you getting the point I'm making? So if your money is going to flow in your direction, there will be a reason why it will come. I'm talking kingdom principles here. That is, you have an idea, beautiful idea. You want to do, like I'll give an example. Why must everybody build a small, decent house for a few millions of naira? And the idea you have in your mind is, God, I want to be able to do it for just 750,000 so that an average person will be able to construct his own home. So you keep praying about it. Maybe you're an architect or something. You keep praying. Ah, God, there must be a way. There must be a way. And that's the point I want to get across to us today. He said, it's God that gives you the power to get wealth. What did Solomon say? He said, wisdom is what? Better than strength. Are you getting my point? That is, what God will give you is not just the, what he is calling the ability to get wealth, usually will come as wisdom. Something that you will use as an idea to do something. I'm going to talk about the story of Joseph in a moment. Now, so if you are looking at that idea, you are thinking about it, what will happen is after some time, now, and this is why we are talking about scriptural principles. We have to learn about God's champion. We have to talk about your inheritance. We have to talk about many things so that Christians will understand that God, these things we are talking about are spiritual principles. And that there is a force, powerful through God, that's going to cause it to happen. We're not talking about which bank will give you loan. I was listening to one man of God the other day. I am very sorry, but I was disappointed. He talked about money. I listened to one tape. I said, is this what this man is talking about? How to get loan from bank? How to do this? Look. That is not what I'm talking about. I am talking about you have a dream and you are incubating that dream. At the point in time, you know this thing can work, but nobody will give you cash. No problem. That is when you need to pray. Are you following my point? And then, we're not talking about that in details today. Then God will indeed send money in your direction. There are many ways you can send it. There are many ways. It's possible you will take the product. God will just, okay, go to this company. Maybe say, go and meet here, Mike. They will buy the idea. So you go to Mike's company. And you guys, I know you guys build. Look at an idea I have. And they look. And then God says, this thing, they speak to them. I'm sending a son to you tomorrow. Take his idea and collect it. So they incorporate into their company. Next thing you know, you guys are building 100,000 housing units per annum. You're already part of the company. You brought up the idea. Everybody there is making money. Did somebody say, how did this? You know, I told you, they will now start telling, your life will now become principles to success. Number one, go and meet her, Mike. Look, it has nothing. Oh, are you getting the point I'm making? It has nothing to do with the person you went to meet. It's because God saw your heart that you wanted to impact your society. You wanted to affect the generations of men with something positive. You wanted to do the will of God in their lives. And God sent supplies in your direction. Or one day, one man just looked and said, look, I don't know what you're talking about, but look, here is 10 million naira, start. And you said, you collect the money, quickly build the housing unit, and people buy it up like this. Bah, bah, bah. The thing is sold up. You know, we'll talk about that. You know, and that way, before you know what's happening, you collect the money back, you build some more, you collect the money back, then people start begging you, next thing one governor phones his organ, I heard the work you are doing in Enugu State. Can you come and do it in Kogi? Before you know what's happening, he said, okay, I'm too busy. His man is begging you. He said, okay, if I'm going to come, you will pay me for coming to Kogi, it's 500,000 naira a day, airtime, I mean, like, or whatever it is, extra code allowance. The man said, no problem, just come. You get there, you start giving direction. Okay, do the, we're going to do like this. Next thing, you are there. The main, which word do I use now? The main developer of civil servant units in Kogi State. That's it, you're a big guy. The man in Kaduna here say, me too, you think I want to be a stupid governor? I have to provide houses for my own people too. Before you know, because these things are spiritually controlled. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Anybody that tries to rise up against you will fall because of you. That's what we are talking about. I hope you are getting the point I'm making. Those are the principles that we are talking about. We are not talking about the ability to go and get, you know, it's irritating when you go to churches and the testimony is not a past contract.
And they just give me contract. What are you supplying? Notebook. And you come to church, you are not ashamed of yourself that your contract is to... And meanwhile, we know you. It was law you studied in school. Now it is contract, it is notebook you are supplying just because your brother is a DG. And it's supposed to be a testimony. There was a church my friend went to those days. I won't mention the name of the church. Very popular and supposed to be a nice church. And every day, he said, the pastor would be saying, look at you, you are sitting down here. It was in a way. He said, look at you are sitting down here. There was this small girl. She's in Abuja doing contracts. Look at it. She's making 10 million naira per month. He said the day he went, his wife started crying. Choose telling him the story. He said his wife started crying that, is this gospel this guy is supposedly preaching from there? Men are not creating wealth. What are they doing? They are just making money. And we are celebrating it from the pulpit. That's not God's plan. That is definitely not God's idea. What God is saying is that, look, you see, when we are talking about developed countries, it's not that they have naira or dollars. That's not the point. But when you say country is developed, it is that they have resources, or let me say, they have structures or industries that they have built. With all the money Saudi Arabia is making, okay, do you know they cannot buy, how many, they can't buy these fighter jets that Americans are producing. They can't afford it. I don't mean, get my point. One of those jets cost about $500 million. Those fighter jets, you see, that, you think those things are cheap? They are not cheap. I like one thing. I read one magazine long ago, one Air Force magazine, you know, all these dogfights and stuff like that. Said the commander was telling his men, there was one who was supposed to be the Second World War, but this is the principle there. He was telling his men, he said, you guys have to handle these things with care, that they are literally worth their weight in gold. Now, that's how precious those things are. But they can afford to have hundreds of them because they make them. Then when Nigeria say, oh, do you, they want to buy, look, listen, you sell $12 billion of oil in a year. How many fighter jets can that buy? That is, the amount of fighter jets America puts on one aircraft carrier, we can't buy it if we don't even spend a dime from all the money we sell with oil in a year. We can't buy it. You see an aircraft carrier, maybe it has about 30 jets on it. Now, we're not talking about the cost of the aircraft carrier that carries about 5,000 men at a time who live there. Listen, riches, wealth is not cash. It's what you can produce. It is the Lord thy God that giveth the power to produce. That's a good way to say it. What we are preaching, that what God wants to do in the life of Christians is not to make money. That's stupid gospel. If I get someone, praise the Lord, I just prayed, and money just fell down from heaven. If I don't get up and go and slap the microphone from your hand, self, you know the spirit that's restraining me. I got rubbish testimonies to hear in church. They are not creating anything. People are not producing wealth. They are making money, and they are testifying. Go and, for time's sake, I won't bother opening to some a lot of the scriptures. But if you go and read the story of, we all know where it is, Joseph. When Joseph was in jail, and the Pharaoh called him out. In fact, maybe we should just read it. So that, what is the story of Joseph? I think that was Genesis chapter 140, thereabouts. 140. Okay, 41. Now, for time's sake, we won't read everything, but you know the story, how Pharaoh dreamt. Okay, how the chief baker and the cupbearer dreamt. You know their stories. Now, the cupbearer dreamt, the chief baker dreamt, and then they forgot, the cupbearer forgot Joseph. And then one day, Pharaoh dreamt, after 2 years, wondering how come the man forgot me. Let me tell you what. Your help is not with any man. You understand my point? Any man that forgot you, thank God. God has ordained that the man should forget you so that God can remember you. Or so that an important person can remember you in due time. Are you getting my point? Now, so this man forgot Pharaoh and Joseph, and then Pharaoh dreamt. You know the dream about the fat cows and the ugly ones who ate up the fat ones and didn't even change their size? I've seen men like that too. No, they're only eating up heavy things, but their size, no, they change. When I was in NYC camp, I had a guy like that. And that guy could eat a house, but he's just as lean as the lean cows of Pharaoh. And then you know the other one. But let's now talk about the interpretation of Joseph. Now, verse 30. Okay, well, if you can read interpretations from verse 25. Now Joseph said to Pharaoh, Pharaoh's dreams are one and the same, and God has told to Pharaoh what he's about to do, and you know the interpretation. Now if you now get down to verse 32, we said, now as for the repeating of the dream to Pharaoh twice, it means that the matter is determined by God, and God will quickly bring it about. That was the end of the interpretation of the dream. The next line was wisdom. It was not interpretation of dreams. Are you getting my point? Next line was simple. Joseph added that one to it by himself. He said, now let Pharaoh look for a man, discerning and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. He said, let Pharaoh take action to appoint overseers in charge of the land, and let him exact a fifth of the produce of the land of Egypt in the 7 years of abundance. Then let them gather all the food of these good years that are coming, and store up the grain for food in the cities under Pharaoh's authority, and let them guard it. And let the food become as a reserve for the land for the 7 years of famine, which will occur in the land of Egypt, so that the land may not perish during the famine. Now, verse 37 says that, now the proposal seemed good to Pharaoh and to all his servants. Then Pharaoh just did what was logical to him. Then Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find a man like this, in whom is a divine spirit, or literally in whom there is a spirit of the gods? He didn't know about Jehovah God. He just knew that whatever this guy was saying was beyond human comprehension. Are you getting my point? That is, what he got there was what? The ability to create wealth. Are you following what I'm going to say? He became a ruler in Egypt, not by conversing I'm a ruler. But what happened was that God gave him an ability with which the man solved a problem for the society and automatically became a ruler. You know, now listen to Pope the other day. He said, most will just change jobs. This company is paying more. They jump from here. He said, they are thieves. You know, like a man has created something and is working, and you are just looking for whoever is paying the more. Hey, Oshonik is not the one paying. You are there. Tomorrow, now you have left. In fact, you now hear that banks, MTN is paying than all the banks. You are in MTN. With MTN for some time, Globalcom arrives. You jump into Globalcom. No purpose, no direction. There's nothing you are trying to impact into anybody's life or into the society. You are just trying to grab from those who have created something. That is not the spirit of excellence. You know, Christians like to confess, I am above alone. I'm not beneath. But we do the beneath things. We don't do the above things. Every beggar is beneath. No matter how much he confesses, he's beneath. I'm not beneath. But we do the beneath things. We don't do the above things. Every beggar is beneath. No matter how much he confesses, he's beneath. You know what the Bible calls a double-minded man who is unstable in all his ways, that cannot receive anything from God? Is a man who says one thing and does another. That's a double-minded person. It's not just I think like this and then I think like that. No, I think one way, I say one thing, I do another thing. Because what you think comes from your thoughts. What you do comes from your thoughts. Though you don't realize you are thinking two different things, but what you are saying is not cooperating with what you are doing. You say, I am above alone and not beneath. Meanwhile, you are a beggar every day, jumping from one high-paying job to another. You have never thought. Let me tell you what, those who are above are those who are giving. I hope you understand the point I'm trying to make. It is more blessed to give, Jesus said, than to receive. That is, you must be imparting something into life that you are living in. Not confessing that, everybody just hangs around in Nigeria. Very common. You hang around government. Once your brother is governor, you know, all your friends suddenly become your good friends, and your enemies become your friends, and your acquaintances become your very good friends also. Why? Because, you know, your brother is now the governor. So that is how they intend to make money. And they come to church and come and testify. They praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Brethren, rejoice with me. Last week, if I gave me a contract for 1 million naira, and hey, hallelujah, and pastor will say, the Lord is good, come, let me bless you as you are going out in this your contract, getting adventure. Listen, that is stupidity. Very childish. Look, don't you read stories? The men who are great, how many of them became great looking for contracts? For them, what you call contracts for them is job they are doing. Are you understanding what I make? There are people say, look at this. Julius Berger is charging us 20 million for this. These guys will do it for us, 15 million. So they come to them. Not that they are lobbying. you give a guy 500,000, whether he can find you a job. That is not the point. You have nothing. Look, listen, when you have something to impart to people, you won't have to bribe anybody. I hope you know that. I mean, after all, they are begging you. If they say, bribe, no, I don't have time. Carry your money and go away. I hope I am making sense. That is, what God is giving us is what? The power to create wealth, not to make money. The power to create wealth, the power to make wealth, the power to do something. What happened to Joseph was that after interpreting the dream, God gave him wisdom to solve the problem. It was, look, I hope you know, it was not just the interpretation of the dream that was the issue. It was that he proposed a solution to Pharaoh. After all, you never can tell. If one of Pharaoh's magicians had interpreted the dream, he would not have become ruler. I hope you know that. He would not have become ruler. This man did not just interpret the dream. What did he do? He now proposed a solution. And because of that wisdom, Pharaoh looked and said, wait. You said we should do it like this. Just go come and do it for us. And that's how he became ruler. And like I was saying to you last time, Pharaoh was not trying to make him rich. I hope you know that. Pharaoh was not trying to empower him so that he can say, I have succeeded. Pharaoh was empowering him so that he can complete the assignment that he started the idea of. Are you getting me? So what do we need, therefore, to succeed in life? Is for God to give us the power, the wisdom to create wealth. Are you following the point? And when I'm talking about wisdom, it's not that you can recite, you know, it's a one of everything, and then the whole of Proverbs in your head. They say, this man is very, very wise. He knows the whole of the Bible. That is not what we are talking about. If you cannot produce cheaper cars, really. If Nigerians must still be buying brand new cars for 4 million naira, you can speak the whole of the Bible on top of cars. You have no wisdom concerning cars. I hope you understand the point I am making. What I'm saying, is it making sense? One of my friends the other day, you know, he went to Lagos to go and do a job for a company. Why did they call him? Very big company. If I mention the name, you guys will know. Every time these guys, they had this big machine they use for their products. Every month, one critical component must break down. Then the woman will come from, I think, Germany or somewhere and come and repair it. After 1 month, it will break down again. And these guys were spending millions of naira importing German to come and repair it. So they said that, this machine, what is wrong with it? Is it not made by human beings? Now they import this boy from Oka. The guy go Lagos. It's true. Settle down. He said, look at our problem. He says, that's okay. Give me the old one that is bad. He sat down, watched it, fabricated his own. They replaced it with it and paid him ₦1 million for the job. Now, are you getting the point I'm making? That is the creation of wealth, not the making of money. Tomorrow, when they have another problem, who do you think they will call? They have found out that the German man is too costly. You pay his flight ticket, you tell he only flies first class KLM. You lodge him in Sheraton. This boy probably stay with his friend in Suleri. To save the hotel money, I'm telling you the truth. That is the power to do what? To make wealth. That is what we are talking about. Not that, we make money. We may as well join Rich Dad Poor Dad and that Robert Kiyosaki and his friend and be manufacturing coins. It's the same thing. But that's not what God is saying. God is saying that if you create something that will empower the lives of people, the money shall be automatically added unto you. Our emphasis, therefore, as we are going out in life as young people, is not how can I make money? No, it's not how can I make money. It's what can I do to affect my generation. Look at problems in the nation. What can I do? What's my own portion of solving economic problems? Listen, if you think like that and pray like that, God will begin to settle ideas in your mind. Listen to me. The difference between white man and black man is only on the skin. I hope you know what I mean, anatomically. Okay? Once you peel off the skin, you can't tell which one was white originally and which one was black. What makes the difference is that in their culture, because they had a culture of, let me say, Christianity, God had empowered the spirits and the souls of men to be able to think differently from the way our people were thinking here. Let me give a practical example that I like to use to illustrate this. Those days, let's assume, that your great-grandfather was an ogbonge dibia in his village, you know. Now, meanwhile, let's assume the man doesn't even have any spiritual knowledge. It's just knowledge of leaves that he had. You know what he would do? He will show only your great-grandfather the leaf. Who will show only your grandfather the leaf? Who will show your father? And hopefully your father will show you too. Then if one of them dies mistaken along the way, the knowledge of the leaf, that is the end. But you know what white man does? He does what they call publications. He will publish the finding of a rare species of leaf that kills diseases. That is, he empowers everybody. That's why they became rich. It's not because we didn't have the knowledge. But our knowledge never multiplied itself. It always died somewhere. Are you getting the point I'm making? So anybody that had to make anything had to start from the scratch. So Isaac Newton will discover laws and die with it. So when Albert Einstein comes, he has to start from the scratch. But in reality, Albert Einstein never had to think about what Isaac Newton thought about. He just read what Isaac Newton has said, and he started from there. That is why, look, listen, I have a personal conviction. There are things you can't achieve in one generation. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? One generation must lay the foundation. Like David, look, it was easy for Solomon to build. David had already collected all the building materials. But, no, our people, the problem used to be that the man said, look, he wants to empower only himself so that they will travel all the way from Lagos and Sokoto 10 months journey to come and cure one disease somewhere in an Anambra state. But he would not give the solution to those who are going back. And listen, what a man sows, that shall he also reap. You can imagine that everybody in the society is sowing nonsense. So they are reaping selfishness. They are reaping poverty. Why do you think the white man came with all the knowledge of spiritual people, the things they claim to have? The white man overran the whole of Africa without batting an eyelid. Because the people have been sowing to the flesh. So of the flesh, what did they reap? Corruption. Those who their ancestors sowed into the spirit, that is, they were willing givers. They automatically were the head and not the tail. I hope I'm making sense. Listen, headship and tailship, pardon the use of my neologism, all right? It's not just to wake up in the morning and declare. It's your attitude towards life. That's what will decide whether you will be on top or you will be beneath. If you come out of life trying to make money, then you have chosen to be the tail and not the head. But if you come, because you see, the one who lends, his hands will always be above. That is the one who is giving. So if you face life with an attitude that I want to give, what a man sows, that shall he also reap. Men will give back to you. It's a spiritual principle. I hope what I'm saying is making sense. That is the power to get wealth. It's not to, you know, that is why most of the time in churches what we hear, what is preached to us is the secret of breakthrough is a seed. Amen? Amen. So right now I'm going to put a basket here and everybody that's putting a seed in it, it will get 10. In fact, I prayed before I came and 500-fold return is what me and God agreed upon. So all of you come and drop your seed here. Then the following week, the last week was breakthrough seed. This week, it is crashed through the wall seed. Everybody. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to give seed spiritually. My problem is that we think that is the only kind of seed people are meant to give, but that is wrong. God has put a seed, an idea in your heart. Then he gives you 500 naira. That 500 naira, you can plant it in that idea, and that is a seed. Do you get my point? You can imagine the farmer who every day he comes to church, sow a seed in the offering basket. Sow a seed, he doesn't go to the farm to go and plant his corn. Corn with the offering basket germinate Jack's stock to heaven to go and bring magic piece for him or whatever, or gold. It won't. Get my point? I'm happy we started this by talking about treasure in heaven. So I am not at all belittling the issue of the spiritual matters. But I'm saying that is not all the seed God is talking about. There is a seed you plant physically, like a farmer goes to the farm to plant corn. You understand my point? After he has prayed and planted spiritual seed, he still has to plant physical seed. That is the one I'm emphasizing. That is the one that produces wealth. It starts with small idea. You know, in my hometown, well, not really my hometown, but that's where we live, that's where I grew up, okay? There is a there is a school there where people send their children from Lagos. This is Ondo State. Lagos, Port Harcourt, everywhere. They send their children home to go and go to school there. And get my points. People send their children from abroad to come home and go and be brought up, come and be brought up properly, and they send them to school there. I still remember how the school started. You know my brother Deji, all right? He went to, it was in nursery two when that school, it was in nursery one, nursery two when that school started. You know, that my little brother, it was a little boy then, that big guy boy now. He's a university graduate now. I'm serious. Okay? He's a university graduate now. Okay? Now, he was a small boy like that when that school started, an infant. I remember very well. Auntie Busy. People were going there. You started with a daycare, I think kindergarten, then primary one, primary two. Currently, is a very big secondary school. I dare to say the best secondary school in those states. That is seed I'm talking about. It is not that the woman didn't plant money in church. Are you following my point? That the seed was just that took the sitting room. Oh, get my point. They were sitting maybe inside the bedroom, and the sitting room was the school. Or they were staying upstairs, and downstairs was the school. That's how it started. Like that. Now they have hostels. If it was money that time, you know, a lot of people would rather take a job than start that. How much money was she making from that small sitting room that time? Think about it. It must have been very stupidly small. But now, let's forget cash. She has created wealth. It's a woman. Her husband is a doctor. She has created what? Wealth. Now, people send their children from far and wide to get into the school. That's what I believe. Look, when you're talking about seed, seed is not just money you give as offering. That is not all. There is something that you can do. That is seed. Next time, in fact, that would be a good time to start talking about being fruitful and multiplying. That's next time what will come around. But let me summarize what I've said today. That wealth is what we are talking about, not money. Do you get my point? Money is just cash. That really doesn't, before God, doesn't have much value. If you get 50 billion naira today, it is not wealth until it has created something. Do you get my point? It is not wealth just by being money. What is wealth is the strength that you are imparting to life. Are you following me? That's what wealth is. And that as a child of God, what God wants to do in your life is not to give you money. Is to do what? Create wealth by you. An industry is wealth. I talked about a school. That's wealth. A university, that is wealth. Whatever be the kind of company that is positively imparting the light of the life of people, that is wealth. That is what God is giving. The ability to make such things. That is, there's one king we should read about. I checked him up just now. That should be 2 Chronicles 26. You'll see what God, when we're talking about wealth, I was talking about United States and countries like that. For them, they may tell you that one of their fighter jets is $500 million, but they make it. I hope you are getting the point I'm making. So actually, for them, it's as if we are paying maybe 50 million naira for each one, because they make it. But once we always have to buy, that is why you mention the value of the naira, the value of the naira. Listen, what God has joined together, no man can put asunder. The fellow that's always buying, his currency will always be cheap. God has joined it together. So Ludo, our new CBN governor cannot change that fact. There was a time that MB Marwa legislated the rate of rent in Lagos. I laughed. That the laws of demand and supply cannot be changed by military fiat. You understand what I say? You cannot decree that from now, flats in Lagos must be 50,000 naira per annum. When you didn't build flats for them. Of course, as Oga was making his decree, the landlords were collecting their 500,000 naira. They didn't care. Why? Because what God has joined together, no man can put asunder. MTN sent a stupid text around to all of us the other day that their cards are still 1,500 naira. So you shouldn't pay more than that. But as they were sending the text, the boys on the road were selling it for 1,800. Why? Because the things were scarce. Once something is scarce, the value is high. The moment diamonds become common everywhere, it will become cheap. Are you getting the point I'm making? There is no decree that you can make to revert these laws. You can only use the laws, have the knowledge of them, and manipulate the environment as you look. If they tell you 2 multiplied by 2 is 4. If you want 8, you start multiplying your own 2 by 4. You get my point? You can't say, no, here, 2 plus 2 should be, 2 times 2 should be 15. Why not? It cannot be. If you want 15, you multiply your 2 by 7.5. In the same manner, the value of Naira, look, that was one area I disagree with Professor Samaluko. You can't sit in Aso Rock and decree the value of the Naira. I hope you are getting my point. If you don't make anything and you're always buying everything, your money will be cheap. Why? Because you are not rich. I hope you are hearing what I'm saying. You know, there's one lie. I didn't know it was a lie. I used to believe it too. You know, people say Nigeria is a rich country. Nigeria is a rich country. After I heard the president say it and other people talk about it, I realized that indeed Nigeria is only potentially rich. You know why? They said the annual budget of the fire department of New York City is the same as Nigeria's national budget. No, I didn't say the whole city, the fire department. The other day we were watching a film in my house and fire started within 1 minute. Panopano don't arrive. Panopano is what we call fire brigade in my place. So I was discussing, I told my wife that, do you know that this is not just film, that is the way it is with them. It is money, that is wealth. Are you following the point that I'm making? The men make the fire engines. The men make everything. So every street we have one major fire engine waiting. Fire may not catch for the next 1 year, but they will continue to wait. They can afford it. I hope you are getting my point. Now, we say, Nigeria is, one of my friends was saying the other day in the office, we can do it. I was saying that, he said, our policemen don't use their helicopters to patrol. I said, they can't. We can't afford it. He said, no, we have the money. I wasn't in the mood for arguing. As long as we have to import the helicopters, we can't afford it. We sell only about $10 billion, or is it $12 billion of oil per annum. We can't afford it. How many are we going to buy? So use all national the money to buy helicopters? No. Until you start making helicopters, it will be difficult for your policemen to use helicopters for regular patrols. It will be very hard. Even car. How many cars can we afford? Because when you have, the idea is this. Wealth is what you can make. So stop deceiving yourself that you are rich until you are making something. You know, Mike, I was listening to that tape I was telling you about. And the man of God was saying that last year, the amount of money Nigeria made annually was what Americans used to buy food for their dogs. No, I'm serious. You're a rich country. Because you don't make things. That's the point. That is the amount of money they spend buying dog food. That is China people shouldn't make so much noise. All the money you people made last year was what Americans spent smoking cigarettes. Americans spend more money on cigarettes than we spend that we make from crude oil that job people are fighting over every day. They spend more money smoking cigarettes. Look, this thing is not about cash. It's about what? Production, productivity, what you can produce. I want us as children of God to stop giving testimony that somebody sent you 50 naira. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. I was just in my office during the week. And he said, these 419 boys, these fraudulent boys, always sending emails, trying to defraud people. After one guy had done it for a year, he finally made $900. He defrauded somebody of $900. And he was rejoicing. You, the whole street knew he had made $900. Gosh. When Satan has blinded a man. Because, you see, he wants to make money without producing anything. So, he didn't know that he was so poor that even me, as I did now, $900 can't make me laugh. You understand my point? I was just, not bad. I put in my breast pocket and that is how I face my way. $900. But because he doesn't have the mentality of producing anything, he's really a poor man at heart. That's what we have taught today. Let's stop deceiving ourselves that we are rich until we are productive. If you sit down in your house and somebody is always sending you $100,000 every week, listen to me, you are a poor man. In fact, he has used that money to put you in perpetual poverty. Wealth is that you are creating something. Listen, if you found a company today that is supplying the needs in one particular area of 100,000 people per day, do you know, even if all you get every day is $1,000, do you know, you when you are working, people will respect you. All these rich people in America, you know what they spend most of the time? The money they spend is the impression people have of them. Let me say, if Bill Gates is broke now, and he walks to a bank and says, give me a loan, $100 million cash. All they know is that he can't be so bad. The man must have money. You know, they'll give it to him. Why? Because he has a history of being productive. And that's what I want us to set in our minds. That when God is giving us the power to get wealth, it is not the power to make money. I hope you are following me. What he's saying is that you have the power to be productive. I was going to read something as I close. 2 Chronicles chapter 26. It was talking about Amaziah, verse 5. And he continued to seek God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding through the vision of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God prospered him. Or like King James said, God made him to prosper. Now if you read verse 6, he went out and warred against the Philistines. I broke down the wall of Gath and all that. Now, I want you to see something here. Verse 7, and God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians who lived in Gobal and the Meunites. The Ammonites also gave tribute to Uzziah. And his fame extended to the border of Egypt, for he became very strong. Notice verse 9. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gates and at the valley gates and at the corner buttress and fortified them. He built towers in the wilderness and hewed many cisterns. And he had much livestock, both in the lowland and in the plain. He also had plowmen and vine dressers in the hill country and the fertile fields, for he loved the soil. Moreover, Uzziah had an army ready for battle, which entered combat by divisions, according to the number of their muster, prepared by Jael the scribe, and Messiah the official, under the discretion of Ananiah, one of the king's officers. Now, and where I'm coming, okay, jump to 13. And under their direction was an elite army of 307,500 who could wage war with great power to help the king against the enemies. Yeah, this is where I really want from verse 14. He said, moreover, Uzziah prepared for all these people. He said, he prepared for all the army shields, spears, helmets, body armor, bows, and sling stones. And in Jerusalem, he made engines of war. That's what I want to come to. Notice that. He made engines of war, invented by skillful men, to be on the tower and on the corners for the purpose of shooting arrows and gravestones. Hence, his fame spread afar, for he was marvelously helped until he was strong. What I want to bring out is this. You can see, for the reason, because God gave him ability to do things, he began to accomplish. You get my point? When the man went into farming, he had a lot. The Bible said he loved the soil. So, in the plains, he had this. In the hill country, he had this. He was building. That's the point I'm coming to. He wasn't just collecting dribbles. This man was manufacturing. At a point in time, they began to make engines. It may not have been diesel engine, but they were engines. They were technological inventions. They used knowledge of science to produce something to affect their situation. I hope you are getting my point. And that is a man that God helped. I'm saying that when God is going to help you and God is going to help me, it's not just to sit down and nobody knows where your money is coming from. You are just rich. That is not the idea. What God wants is that you will be fruitful. That there is something he has placed in your hand with which you will produce something. Are you getting the point that I am making? That we are not talking about just making money. What are we talking about? Making wealth. Wealth is strength. That is an empowerment that you give to people. And if you have that mentality, God will give you an idea Get that point? It's wisdom. Something in your head that you can do to affect a particular situation. Last time we talked about cheap houses, schools, cheap cars, anything. There are different kinds of things that we need currently that you know that God has placed inside you that you can do. And listen to me, don't let the devil buy your wealth with money. Did you hear what I said? Do not let the devil buy your wealth with money. What do I mean? Listen, as I did now, you cannot give me a job. No matter how highly paying the job is, once it will take me from the work of the ministry and the writing that I do, I will never get my point. Make it $1 million a month, I won't take. Did you hear me? Why? Because there is a seed that God has planted inside me. I will not let you buy it. It's wealth. I know I'm carrying wealth. When we're talking about wealth, it's not that you have money. That's not what we're talking about. That there is a positive impact that is encapsulated in my heart. You can't buy it with money. How do people buy it with money? Oh boy, come. Follow me. Come and walk here. It has nothing to do with the drive of your heart. The passion of your heart is not there, but they give you 100,000 every week. Aye! You can't leave it. What has happened is they have bought your wealth with money. And listen, once all you are earning in your life is salary, you are a poor man. Please, did you hear what I said? Once somebody is paying you salary, now it's different when somebody is negotiating with you. You get what I'm going to say? In that, because I remember those days, Michael Eisner, the man who turned around the Walt Disney, he was the highest paid CEO in one particular year. From a losing company, they became a profit-making company. That year, they made $2 billion. The man's deal was 10%. He collected, I remember very well, I think that was 1993. He collected $206 million as income for the year. That's not his salary. You understand what I'm saying? The man came with light to turn around their situation. And what he got in return, he got money for creating wealth. The company got how much? $2 billion. But the deal was that you take 10% of whatever you make for us. So the man pocketed Michael Eisner, I remember very well. The man made $206 million as income in 1 year. I hope you are getting my point. That is prosperity thinking. A lot of people that think they have a prosperity mentality, actually they have a poverty mentality. You understand my point? What they think is prosperity is that I drive a Lexus, I have a Ford Expedition, and on top of that, I've just bought a Lincoln Navigator. And that is prosperity. You and I know now that that is madness. Look, I love big cars. If I had money, I'd probably buy a Ford Expedition. You understand? So I'm not lying against the truth. I don't mind them. The people driving good cars are not necessarily happy. Bad cars are not guarantees for happiness. So you understand? In fact, no, just hear it now. The people inside S-Class Mercedes-Benz are usually happier than those inside Volkswagen B2. You understand my point? It is a fact. Are you hearing me? I know a man, I'm aware that a man driving an S-Class Benz is happier than me inside my car. When I say happier, I'm not saying that, no, assume we're on the same level. Except he has cocaine in his brain or he's a thief. But all things being equal, it is better to be in a big car than in a small car. Are you hearing what I'm trying to say? No, listen, small cars were invented because of poverty. I keep on saying this. When fuel became scarce, the people started mising. That's why they started buying 2.5 cylinder cars. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm just saying that prosperity is not the size of the car. That wealth is that I am producing something, not that I'm driving a big car. That I would rather be trekking on the road knowing that I'm producing something than driving a very big car, and there is nothing that somebody can say I am blessing my society with or blessing people with. Are you getting my point? That is what is a prosperity mentality. To be getting is a poverty mentality. To want to have is a poverty mentality. To want to give is a mentality of somebody who's prosperous. Because Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Let us pray.